Good morning and welcome to Catholic Views. I'm Jerry Klein. Thanks for joining us. Today on the program, we're going to talk with the sculptor Darwin Wolfe about Catholic art. The Holy Father in August asked us to pray for artists. We're going to talk about that, what that means, and how that impacts Darwin's work. I think you'll find it an interesting interview. Hope you'll stick around for it. Gene Young will have news for us in just a bit. First, the readings, though, for this Sunday. Brianna Wingen with the first and second reading, and Father Darren Schmidt with the gospel.
A reading from the book of the prophet Jeremiah. You duped me, O Lord, and I let myself be duped. You were too strong for me, and you triumphed. All the day I am an object of laughter. Everyone mocks me. Whenever I speak, I must cry out. Violence and outrage is my message. The word of the Lord has brought me derision and reproach all the day. I say to myself, I will not mention him. I will speak in his name no more. But then it becomes like fire burning in my heart, imprisoned in my bones. I grow weary holding it in. I cannot endure it. The word of the Lord. A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans. I urge you, brothers and sisters, by mercies of God, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, your spiritual worship. Do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and pleasing and perfect. The word of the Lord.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer greatly from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. Then Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. God forbid, Lord, no such thing shall ever happen to you. He turned and said to Peter, Get behind me, Satan. You are an obstacle to me. You are thinking not as God does, but as human beings do. Then Jesus said to his disciples, Whoever wishes to come after me must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. What profit would there be for one to gain the whole world and forfeit his life? Or what can one give in exchange for his life? For the Son of Man will come with his angels in his Father's glory, and then he will repay all according to his conduct. The Gospel of the Lord.
Now with a look at news highlights from this past week. From the Bishop's Bulletin, here's Gene Young.
Thanks, Jerry. In the news this morning, the Diocese of Sioux Falls recently hosted its two summer anniversary masses in the diocese at the Cathedral of St. Joseph in Sioux Falls. Eugene and Madeline Sari of Holy Trinity Parish, Huron, joined other couples at the cathedral for one of the two diocesan anniversary masses. Bishop Paul J. Swain celebrated the masses and blessed the couples during each of the masses. Couples in attendance also enjoyed a reception and photos with the bishop afterward. The second anniversary mass this summer was celebrated at Sacred Heart Church in Aberdeen. You can read and see more about the anniversary masses in the September edition of the Bishop's Bulletin in homes across the diocese now or shortly and online at www.sfcatholic.org. In other news, the Adorers of the Blood of Christ and other landowners in Lancaster County, Pennsylvania, have lost their court case to keep a natural gas pipeline from being built on their property. In an opinion this week, U.S. District Judge Jeffrey Schmell ordered that Williams Partners and their Transco subsidiary can have permanent right-of-way of 1.05 acres to build the 42-inch pipeline, as well as another 1.65 acres of right-of-way on a temporary basis to build it. The pipeline will extend through Maryland, Virginia, North Carolina, and South Carolina. In a memorandum of opinion supporting the order, Schmell said the company's claimed monthly losses of $500,000 because of the delay, that is, in pipeline construction and revenue losses of $33 million a month until it is built was sufficiently proven by Williams. Schmell also ordered Williams to pay $329,000 to the Adorers and the other landowners for their property. With flood water as high as 20 feet from swelling bayous and waterways, thousands of homes in the Archdiocese of Galveston-Houston flooded as Tropical Storm Harvey continued to batter southeast Texas late in the week. Bishops from dioceses along the mid-Texas Gulf Coast, including Victoria and Galveston-Houston, granted dispensations from regular Mass Sunday obligations for August 27th, last Sunday. The storm, which made landfall a day earlier as a Category 4 hurricane, was downgraded to a tropical storm and claimed at least four lives that have been confirmed lost. The record-breaking rainfall, as much as 28 inches over 24 hours in four counties in the Archdiocese, was unprecedented and catastrophic, according to the National Hurricane Center. Guatemala's bishops criticized the country's president for expelling an international anti-corruption commissioner. They also call for public protests to remain peaceful, for politicians to act in the national interest, and for the president to obey a court order against his actions. The bishops expressed their conviction that the struggle against corruption and impunity constitutes a need that cannot be put off and an urgent task for the Guatemalan state, said in a statement this week from the Guatemala Bishops' Conference. Weakening the CICIG, the International Commission Against Impunity in Guatemala, favors, in the name of supported or supposed sovereignty, that impunity and corrupt individuals emerge as the beneficiaries, read the statement, signed by the bishops there. The president of the country, Jimmy Morales, plunged Guatemala into a political crisis this week by declaring non grata Ivan Velasquez, a Colombian prosecutor who was the CICIG commissioner. The commission's work has led to a series of prominent prosecutions of politicians and ultimately led to the country's then-president, Otto Perez Molina, being removed from office in 2015. Guatemala's constitutional court blocked the order against Velasquez shortly after it was issued. As the Diocese of Pensacola-Tallahassee's sixth bishop lay prostrate on the floor of the Pensacola Bay Center, one thing in particular distinguished the Episcopal candidate: his pink socks. The choice seemed fitting for newly ordained Bishop William A. Wack because the socks would match the amaranth, a reddish-pink tone, zucchetto he would wear as bishop. But it was also a fitting choice for the Holy Cross Father, known for his smiling face and jovial, fun-loving nature. As Father Robert L. Epping, Superior General of the Holy Cross Congregation, put it, the smiling priest is known to be a bit of a jokester. These are not the usual descriptives for a bishop, but these are the words you see on his face, and for those of us who know him, they are the words that make him an effective priest and an attractive shepherd, Father Epping said. We also know a more serious side. He loves people. He loves Jesus. He forgets about himself. He reaches out to bring joy. He serves with gladness, not just with duty. When Pope Francis compared his lexicon for bishops with Father Bill's credentials, he found a perfect fit. Thousands gathered to witness the Episcopal ordination of the Pensacola-Tallahassee prelate who wishes to be referred to as Bishop Bill. With a look at the news from this past week, I'm Gene Young reporting from the Bishop's Bulletin Newsroom.
Very good, Gene. Thanks for that. Let's move on to our interview. This morning on Catholic Views, we are joined by Darwin Wolf, who is a sculptor, an artist, and a friend who I've known for quite a long time now. And Darwin, I've told you this, that when I was praying this month with the Holy Father's prayer intentions, I was so struck by this intention this month that artists of our time, through their ingenuity, may help everyone discover the beauty of creation. I was so struck by the fact that the Holy Father was concerned enough about that issue to include it as one of his 12 prayer intentions for the month, that it's stuck with me, and I've thought, how do I help talk about this a little more? How do we talk about artistry? How do we talk about the beauty that artists help us see sometimes? And then all of a sudden, I thought, well, Darwin could help me talk about that because this is what he does for a living. So good to have you with us.
Thanks, Jerry.
By way of introduction, good to have you with us.
Thanks.
I don't know that any of that is really conscious in your mind as you go about your work. Maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
Maybe not so much going about the work every day, mm-hmm. but at least in the thought process.
Yeah.
Planning and preparing for different projects, there's always some spirituality involved.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that happens for you because that just happens as an artist, or is it because you come at it maybe differently than other artists might because of your own faith experience?
A little of both. I think artists look for inspiration before they start a project, or they know it's going to be a flop, so they've got to have something from somewhere to feed on. And then you look at the subject matter,
mm-hmm.
and kind of a combination of different ways to approach.
Mm-hmm. When you saw this prayer intention, did it strike you? Did it mean something to you that the Holy Father would include something like this?
Yes, and there's so much to it for me.
Yeah.
And I hope you're...
We got time.
I hope you're really looking for my opinion, because
I'm
going to give you several interpretations of how I feel this was intended and what I hope the Holy Father is praying for.
Yeah, absolutely.
As far as how it helps with our faith, I find the most helpful parallel between art and spirituality is that sense of otherness. And I'm not sure if you've heard that spoken or said, but it's something real beyond, you know, the physical and logical world in front of us. So art and spirituality share that otherness factor. So that's always together.
So just to make sure I understand that, when we think about God, we think about something other, because we know we're not God and God is the other. Is that what you mean by that?
That, and that it's intangible, and it usually requires a level of faith.
Yeah, yeah.
Or belief beyond what we can grasp.
Perfect, okay.
And those have always been inseparable, because our church has thrived on iconology for centuries.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true. I mean, really, iconography, all kinds of art.
Yep. And at one time, we were completely dependent upon our art outside the Mass, because none of our members could read.
Most people were illiterate.
Right. So the art became not only a liturgical tool, but also a fantastic assist for evangelization,
mm-hmm.
and bringing people into their own devotions, having that tangible in front of them, so they didn't have to rely on otherness all the time. Art became that tangible connection.
Literally a connector between them and the other.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And what's even better is, during this time when people couldn't read, our church was involved in creating some of the greatest works of all time.
Yeah.
I mean, you walk into the Sistine Chapel and you see the David, and you see great art like that, and you know it's inspired by something beyond us. That's otherness to the nth degree. And that's also the wonder of art becoming such an evangelical presence.
Has that ability to bring something out of us that we didn't even know was there.
And
I would guess, foremost, that's true for the artist himself.
Well, yeah.
Probably brings things out you didn't even know were possible.
Yeah. The inspiration factor.
Yeah, the inspiration factor.
The knowledge.
The muse.
Yeah. Well, and not so much the muse. It's, a substitute for the muse, the assist from the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
So you just have to laugh sometimes in the studio when something comes to me and artists will call that the art talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. it's the Holy Spirit.
It's the Holy
there.
Spirit, yeah.
And it makes you more excited for the project when that begins to happen.
I want to mention, just to interrupt you for a second, not that I want to derail your train of thought, because it's great, but I'm thinking that people might say, well, Darwin, I've heard that name, Darwin Wolf, I've heard that name, Wolf Bronze, oh yeah, I've heard that name. Where might they have seen some of your work? And you've done both religious work and, I don't know what you term it, just regular artwork, mm-hmm. I suppose you'd say, but sculptures of all kinds.
Yeah. My roots, of course, are in liturgical pieces. St. Therese on the northeast side of town,
mm-hmm.
A nice piece for their rose garden. Also, the icon piece at Avera Central offices.
Right.
The gateway sculptures at St. Joseph Indian School. Carlitos across from the Orthopedic Institute at Casa de Carlitos.
On the McKinnon campus,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Vera McKinnon campus.
And Pettigrew, one of my bigger projects.
Yep.
it was a personal project that took me 10 years to get finished. So
also a crucifix.
Yeah, I can't forget that, the crucifix at Holy Name in Watertown.
Right.
That was the piece where I finally decided that I was really a sculptor.
What was it about that made you think that?
The intimidation turning into inspiration, and at the onset, I didn't have the confidence that I could pull it off. Mm-hmm. By the time I got done, I knew I couldn't pull it off, and it was the Holy Spirit in there with me.
And is that because of the subject, because of what you were doing?
Oh, yeah.
The fact that it was Jesus?
The corpus.
The corpus, yes. Yeah.
I even invited in several friends. I think you were there.
I think I was.
For the kind of a preview critique, allowing people to just give me their impressions. Even Father Joe Vogel was there. We really hashed that piece out because mm-hmm. it needed some good evaluation and insight. So it was great to have that done.
Yeah. So again, Darwin's done a lot of different sculptures. The most recent and probably the most prominent in recent days is the Michael Fitzmaurice Medal of Honor statue.
Yes.
Now stationed at the Michael Fitzmaurice Veterans Home in Hot Springs.
Right.
Yeah.
And getting to know Mike and his wife was just a treat.
Yeah.
And getting to know the story that we just don't have time to get into here, but I do recommend people Google Michael J. Fitzmaurice Medal of Honor, and the story will be quite mind-blowing.
Yeah, it is. A beautiful story, really.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, beautiful story. So that's to kind of set the stage again for who you are and why this whole topic is so meaningful for you. And I guess what I'm hoping to make sure that people walk away today with is, why is it meaningful for me? Why is it meaningful for a listener to consider artistry? And again, connecting to why the Holy Father is even asking us to pray in this way. So back to your train of thought.
Yeah, there's so what train of thought? That's off the rails all the time. There's so much to that prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And then even in the video about that prayer, he goes on to say, the arts give expression to the beauty of the faith and proclaim the gospel message of the grandeur of God's creation. So he's back to trying to draw our attention to not just our faith and our belief system and our journey, but also the creation, the things around us.
Mm-hmm.
He goes on to say, when we admire a work of art or a marvel of nature, comparing the two, we discover how everything speaks to us of him and his love.
Mm-hmm.
The great things he's given to us, the inspirations. So it wasn't enough that he had this one-line prayer that was so full. He added those things too, and I think it fleshed it out quite a bit. For me, I think his intent is to create a calling for artists to not only create on a spiritual level and not only for people to exist on a spiritual level, but to also recognize God's presence in the artist's work and all of our work outside the church.
Yeah.
And that just seems to be a big part of his prayer for me. And
so in a sense, creating a consciousness about something of which we might take for granted. And I've had the privilege of watching you work and seeing you toil. And as you said, kind of seek ideas and seek help in how to make something come alive in a way that you want it to. But I think most of us, for the most part, are completely oblivious to that process, but for whether it's a sculpture or a painting or whatever. We see that and we go, oh, well, that's really beautiful. That's really well done. And that's it. We don't think about what it took to get it there. And I think that's too part of what the Holy Father is trying to get us to understand. Yes?
The process of creation of art creation.
That they're right, that there is a process to this, that it doesn't just happen.
Yeah.
We shouldn't just take it for granted.
Mm-hmm.
We ought to pray for the artists, you know?
Yeah.
That's what I think part of what he's doing.
I think I would agree with that. To reach not, see, I'm focused on the artist.
Sure, because you are one.
Yeah, and how I could see if artists could just open themselves, all artists could open themselves up to this.
Yeah.
I think it would make for some better art out there.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping the Holy Father is sending that message to artists who maybe are involved right now in derogatory works and really critical of the church and spirituality as a whole. And it's odd that today that approach is seen as the intellectual approach, you know, atheism and looking outside of faith. where I find that intellectualism is mandatory in building a faith, a faith life. So that idea of what is intellectual is being challenged, I believe, by if you would just get into some of the spirituality, you would see how rich and deep and thorough the story really is. And I'm thinking when he's talking about artists proclaiming the gospel message and seeing the beauty, I hope he's talking to those artists and trying to bring them into the fold.
Sure.
There's a lot of them out there. It'd be nice to have them come home.
And that's an aspect I hadn't even thought about. You know, yeah. from a layperson's view, I haven't even thought about that. But you're right that so much of the historical art that you even mentioned, some of the things at the Sistine Chapel or some of the great sculptures that exist, which were clearly created out of a deep faith and a deep love for God and His creation, are now viewed in a scholarly way only by most people. They don't get that deeper meaning. And I right. think that's maybe what you're trying to say, is if artists could even appreciate that, it would probably help them in their own work.
Oh, absolutely. So many movements in art over the years have been, don't look back. That stuff's been done. Forget about it. Let's move forward. Mm. So many, many people have never really even taken a serious look at what's behind them.
That's a shame.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's a shame. Mm-hmm. I asked you a couple of questions in advance for you to ponder, and one of those was, do you consider yourself a Catholic artist, or are you an artist who happens to be Catholic? And I told you I had asked a writer once that question, and I got a very long explanation, which didn't really satisfy me, to tell you the truth. So I'm curious how you answer that as a sculptor.
For so many reasons, yeah, I really do see myself as a Catholic sculptor.
Yeah, even though you do things that have no religious connotation whatsoever to the naked eye.
Right.
Yeah.
Even when I'm sculpting a military piece or a historical piece, there's still foundational effort there. And to be honest, sometimes just to get out of bed and go to work, it takes some inspiration because day after day after
just
day.
Just like any job.
Well, yes. Yes, but and I don't mean to make my job sound that much worse, but there is one thing that really makes it difficult, is that in most jobs you can have an off day or an off shift. Sculptors have to get it right and do their best work every time, every day, every move.
Yeah.
And if there's let up and you go back the next day and look at it, you can see it. Mm-hmm. And it's, oh, what did I do? And I got to go back and redo this.
Start over.
Yeah. So your best days do compensate for your not so good days, but you'd rather just not have to redo stuff.
Yeah.
So there's a pressure. It's self-induced. It's there. So to get through that kind of thing, you know, there's the writer's block kind of thing. A lot of things just kind of prevent you from going to that studio some days. So it takes a lot of beyond what I'm capable of.
So what I hear you say is that if you did not have the aspect of a deep faith, which you do have, if you didn't have that and were still trying to be the artist that you are, it would be pretty tough to do.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, for that reason, in just tons of different things up, the church brought me back to... the art brought me back to the church. College, you know, everybody, not everybody, but yeah. There's a tendency to loosen up.
Tendency to stray.
Skip mass, just kind of blow things off and go with the flow. Well, I got involved in several art history courses, and one was a thorough review of the Renaissance. And how do you look at all of that and not be curious, especially when I had just a wonderful instructor, Dr. Bill Hoare at Northern State University, and he could just make everything so rich, and he wasn't even, I don't think he was Catholic. No, I'm sure he was not. And I thought, holy cow, the richness of this art and the cool stories, there's more to it than this. So I'm going to go try and get some more. So I began my own reading, and then it just kind of drew me back into being a regular at Mass for a change, and kind of it made my folks happy.
Yep,
so the art drew me back, and that was just kind of a neat trail along with the Holy Spirit.
So we just have a couple minutes left, Darwin. These shows always go too fast for me when we talk about stuff like this. I want people, again, to find a connection to this themselves. You know, for those that maybe pray every day with the Holy Father and do these prayers every month that he suggests, you know, that sometimes it becomes routine and you don't really read the words very deeply of what you're praying for. But I want people to come away with something here so that maybe they can appreciate more deeply the beauty of art themselves. Are there tips or things that you might suggest for people?
The first one I always recommend is not to let art intimidate you.
Mm-hmm.
So many times people see, whether it's a realistic piece or a very conceptual piece, abstract, whatever, and it's intimidating because they think, oh, if I don't get the interpretation of this just right, I'm going to be wrong.
Yeah.
Well, some artists are that way. They want you to get their intent, and they want you to see their symbolism and their this and their that. But I really do believe art's dead until a viewer sees it, and that's the way the viewer has to look at it. This is a dead piece of work until I see it.
So the tree falls in the forest and does not make a sound unless someone's there to hear it.
Exactly.
Same principle.
And there is no opinion until that viewer walks up and has their own. So you can take that as your own experience and take that with that piece of art and take it home with you and live with it. But live with it if you love it. If you love the piece of art, don't buy it for investment. Don't buy it because you want to be seen as a connoisseur. Buy art that speaks to you, and don't let anything talk back.
And the hope is that over time, your appreciation will grow and develop and deepen, and your interpretation might even change as you become more familiar with the piece.
Exactly. And you may find more pieces that have that similar association, and they look nothing alike, but you get the same response from those two pieces of work. So you can actually collect your own interpretations.
And just quickly as we finish, I think you could do the same thing, even if you don't own it. Just think about some of the things you see at churches, you know, and every week we're at church, right? Look at a piece and begin to think about it in the way that you've talked about. And over time, you might see it differently.
Exactly.
Exactly, yeah. Right. Great stuff. I think we could go on a long time, but we're going to call it there for this morning. Darwin Wolf, who is a sculptor, wolfbronze.com, if you want to check out his work and see a little bit more about what he does. Thanks so much.
Yeah, you're welcome, Jerry. Thanks.
Well, that's about all the time we have for Catholic Views this morning. We certainly hope you enjoy your Labor Day weekend. We'll be back with you again with Catholic Views next Sunday morning.